James 3, 5, and 6, as we look at this, because James, his point in this is, you know, because we can talk all about good and that the tongue can speak good things, amen, and we can say kind words and so on and so forth, and I'm not going to negate that. But James's whole point and his emphasis in this passage is about the negative. Everything in this is negative. So I don't mean to sound negative, but James is negative. And so if I sound negative, just write James a letter like he wrote us a letter and it's all good. Amen. Send it to him via Jesus and send it off. See if he gets it. But it's negative because his whole point in this is how damaging our words can be. Amen. Listen, we can say things that are so bad. And I've watched and I've listened to testimonies of children that their parents have said bad things to them, and the kids believe it. And it ultimately destroys their life and they make poor decisions. And then I've seen where people have spoken good things into people's lives, and it's changed their life and empowered them to do good. And so I just want you to know that we do have a potential to speak good and positive things, but we have a potential to be deadly with our tongue as well. And James, his focus is on the deadly, and he's warning us about that. Let's look here in James 3, 5, and 6. And it says this, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. And we're like, wow, man, that is pretty intense. And James is intense in this, right? And so he's like, hey, listen, I want you to know, and Paul does, or sorry, not Paul, but James doesn't speak of anything specific. He just says that this can set a fire, and it's because it has to do with everything and anything, any topic. Look, you could take the greatest topic that you can speak about, and you can turn it into a negative and hurtful and demeaning and deadly things. Amen. And so what we say is so, so crucial, because we can corrupt every issue that is out there. Whatever the tongue, whatever the subject, we can damage or pervert it. I want you to look in James 3:5. Can you put 3:5 back up? Look here. It says, see how, it's the second half of it. See how great a forest, a little fire kindles. That word see literally in the Greek would be behold, like let me get your attention. The word see here is the same word that is a duo, or however they say it in the Greek, and it literally means behold, or they're calling a special attention to, now to what's happening or what's about to happen. Matthew 1:23 says this, behold, right? Let me get your attention. The virgin shall be with child. And so we see this is a big event, and the scriptures tell us, I need your attention because something is going to happen and you need to pay attention. Then look in John 4:35. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, let me get your attention today, right? The fields are white on the harvest. And so he's like, I need you to understand, this is vital that you grasp this. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, he being Jesus, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Behold, Jesus is coming soon. And then one more, Revelation 22:7. There are more, but for sake of time, I couldn't give you all of them, obviously. It says, behold, I am coming quickly. And so the word see in James carries the same idea as everything I've just read. Behold, or see, pay attention, because your words can set things on fire. And again, for the positive, absolutely, but James is very specific to the negative. And we have to be so careful, because I don't know about you, but there are very few. There are some people that we call Barnabases, right? You know, Barnabas is encouraging and helpful, and everybody loves a Barnabas. Amen. And then you get guys like me. And so I'm part-time Barnabas and then part-time prophet. So I'm not always as welcome as a Barnabas, because they see the positive in everything and I just see everything. And so my mother-in-law, she is a Barnabas. Man, she will look for the positive in everything and everything, no matter what it is, she'll give that nice little spin. So you smile and you're like, I love you. And then you run into me and I'm like, yeah, but, and then I don't love you. And so we have to be careful of the words, and we have to understand. And he says, behold or see, because man, the words, our words can be so deadly. And so he's just telling us to pay close attention, to the, careless words, the destructive words, the hateful, words that are said. One of the things that I found interesting is that fire has a unique ability to reproduce itself, right? Almost in an unlimited way, meaning that if I took a glass of water and I poured out a glass of water, that's all the water we would have. Amen. It wouldn't become a flood. It begins in the glass. I pour it out and it ends wherever it goes and it stops. It's done. Fire, though, I can spark a fire. I remember about 8 years ago, there was a RV driving through the mountains of California, and there was a lot of road construction. There's nowhere to turn off, and if you've been to California, there's some roads over there that are just terrible. And but there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to turn off, and so they're driving down the road. The guy has a blowout, and when he has a blowout, he keeps driving because he can't get off the road. There's nowhere to pull over, and the tire eventually throws off the rim, and then the rim is on the pavement, and it started throwing sparks. And California had one of the worst fires it's ever had in its history because of the RV throwing sparks off of the rim. Anybody remember that? Remember hearing about that? A few shaking their heads. Some of you don't watch the news. Okay. So, at any rate, it's just what happened. A little spark coming off of the rim set California ablaze, and the fire just kept going and going and going. And so as long as there is something to burn and oxygen, that can feed it, it will continue to go. It's one of the few things that will forever expand and burn indefinitely. On October 8th, 1871, at about 8:30 in the morning, a lantern in Mrs. O'Leary's barn, presumably kicked over by her cow, ignited the Great Chicago Fire. Before it could be contained, 17,500 buildings were destroyed, 300 people died, and 125,000 others were left homeless. In 1903, a pan of rice boiled over onto a fire, spreading coals across the room, and started a blaze that eventually consumed a square mile of a Korean city, burning some 3,000 buildings to the ground. Fire, as long as it has something to burn and fuel to keep it going, oxygen, it will continue to destroy. And James says that our tongue is like that fire. Think about that. And some people, you're so bad, you won't say anything good. Maybe you're insecure. You've been hurt, and so now your goal is just to hurt everyone that you run into. Maybe you're a narcissist and you can never be wrong, and it's got to be you and your way, and you're always right, and so everybody else is wrong, and you will demean them to keep trying to show yourself right. But as long as you keep speaking like that, you will continue to destroy. You are like the fire, the Chicago fire, or the one in Korea that burnt down all the buildings. And that's what James is saying. He's like, behold, listen, your tongue can do incredible damage. So think before you speak. That's why James tells us basically we have two ears and one mouth. So do twice the listening and half the talking. Amen. And sometimes we don't catch up to that. We're a little slow. And so Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs, he wrote this in Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. I love this. The heart of the person who loves God will study how to answer, meaning that they focus on the things of God, learn the things of God so they can know how to respond to people. But the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Proverbs 16:27 says, an ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. Proverbs 26:20-21, where there is no wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no talebearer, strife ceases, and that talebearer is a gossiper or a slanderer. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. And that man is neutral gender, meaning person or human being. And so is a contentious person to kindle strife. And so we have to be ever so careful. David lamented in Psalm 57:4. It says, my soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. And then of evil boasting men, David wrote in Psalm 52:2-4, your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. And Job, if you ever read the book of Job, he asked Bildad. Now, Bildad was his so-called comforter, right? He was there to help him. And yet Job asked Bildad in Job 19:2, how long will you torment my soul and break me in pieces with words? Now think about that, guys, just for a second. I know I've been guilty of that. Sometimes I speak before I think. And then after I say it, I'm like, oh, that did not come out the way I meant it. And some of you do the same thing. But I'm just telling you, Job looks at his friend. This is how careful we got to be. And his friend Bildad was just condemning him at every turn. You're guilty. There's got to be sin. You got to be this. And Job's like, no, I'm innocent. No, you can't be innocent. There's got to be. And he goes on and on and on and on. And Job's response to him was, how long will you torment my soul and break me in pieces with words? And then when someone calls us out, if we're not careful, we justify it. Well, you needed to hear that. That might be true, but could we have chosen a better way to say it? Amen? Could we have chosen a better way to get our point across? And listen, I'm blunt. I'm very blunt. I'm black and white. I know I am. But I try not to destroy people with words. You can say things and still get it out without destroying the person. Amen? And so we have to be ever so careful, because there's so many people like Job. They're just asking, when are you going to stop destroying me? Many years ago, a guy by the name of Morgan Blake, he was a sports writer for the Atlanta Journal, and he wrote the following satire. It says, I am more deadly than the screaming shell from the howitzer. I win without killing. I tear down homes, break hearts, and wreck lives. I travel on the wings of the wind. No innocence is strong enough to intimidate me. No purity pure enough to daunt me. I have no regard for truth, no respect for justice, no mercy for the defenseless. My victims are as numerous as the sands of the sea and often as innocent. I never forget and seldom forgive. My name is gossip. Our words, guys. This is what James is talking about. Your words. One little thing can set ablaze a fire that never goes out. Again, for the good or for the negative, and we usually find it more so for the negative. And that's why James says, behold, let me get your attention. Listen. I need you to hear me. Well, as I was looking at this, there's four major elements of the tongue's danger. First is it's a world of iniquity. Look up, look here in, did I give you James 3:6 again? Can you put that up? The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Now, that's not talking about the earth. It's talking about a system or a scheme, an arrangement that you have made. Because how many times do you play over and over in your head what you're going to say before you say it? And you make the adjustments. Oh, that's not harsh enough. No, I got to cut deeper than that. It's a scheme. Literally, that's what he's talking about. The world of iniquity. It is an arrangement within our brain of things that we want to say. It's a source of unrighteousness. And it breeds every sort of sinful passion and desire within us. The tongue does. One commentator described it as the microcosm of evil among our members. It is a vile, wretched, and wicked scheme of fleshly humanness. No other bodily part has such far-reaching potential for disaster and destruction as the tongue. James points it out so vividly, the tongue. And I just want you guys to think, like I know that James has been pretty negative throughout the last few weeks about the tongue and how we are to be and respond and how it shows who we are and it exposes who we are. It tells the tale on us. Amen. It is our the tongue is our tattletale. It tells on us of who we are. And I'm just telling you guys, we have to focus and think about who we're talking to, what we're saying, and our agenda in the process. The second of the four is an evil tongue is set among our members, and it defiles the entire body. And I was thinking of it, the tongue is like smoke. You know, several years ago, we had a house fire. And the fire was contained in the kitchen. It never left the kitchen. But the smoke went throughout the entire house. As a matter of fact, it didn't just go through the entire house. It went through all of our clothes and the closets and the drawers of the clothes that were in all the drawers, or you guys call them drawers. Who calls it a draw? Isn't New Yorkers call it a draw? That's the South. They call it a... I've forgotten where I've lived. I'm sorry. Listen, who knows? I still call Crabtree. Crossgates Mall. Well, we had a Crabtree Mall in North Carolina. We had... I'm just here. Somebody tell me where I'm at. Yeah, they call it a draw in the South. We call it... I'm moving on. All right. So anyway, the smoke got all through the drawers of the dressers. It got into the closets. It got into the bedding. It got into the carpet. And so by the time we were done, even though the fire was only in the kitchen, we had to gut the entire house. Everything we owned had to go off and get cleaned. And what didn't get cleaned had to go into a dumpster. And you were like, the fire was just in the kitchen, but the smoke. And then when I had to go in and redo the house, we pulled all the carpet up. We completely emptied the whole house down to the walls. And then I had to go buy a special paint, which was oil-based. You can't use latex. It was oil-based. And I had to paint every wall and every ceiling in the house with this oil-based paint. Because if I didn't, we would smell that smoke to this day, 6 years later or whatever it's been. We would still smell that smoke when you walk in the house. That's the way the tongue is. and the damage of the tongue is like the smoke. It just goes on and it continues to permeate and to destroy. And it leaves a mark that nobody ever forgets. And so we have to be ever so careful of what we say. Jesus said in Mark 7, 20 and 23, he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. Next verse. From within, out of the heart of men. See, remember I said the tongue is a tattletale? Because it tells what's going on in here. If you just listen to somebody, you'll see where they're at. You'll see where their heart really is. You'll see if they really love God, if they really love Jesus. You'll see if they're really surrendered. You'll see if they really love you. All you got to do is listen. Do the words cut and destroy, but we do it in the name of, you need to hear this? Do they cut and destroy just because for no reason, but we're going to find a reason so we can get our own way? And then the scars that we leave behind. The damage that's done. And again, I tell you right up front, I've said things that, boy, if I could have retracted them, I'd have pulled them in just as quick as I could before they would have hit the ears of the hearer. Because I was angry or thinking about myself, you know, whatever it is. And I know many of us do the same thing, but guys, I'm just telling you, think before you speak. Because it's not the effect for the moment, it's the smoke damage for the life. If you've ever been around a campfire and your clothes smell like smoke, or I used to work in a restaurant, bar type place, tavern. We call them taverns here. And you'd go in, and even though I never worked in the kitchen, every time I left, I smelled like the kitchen. Grease, right? As soon as you open the door and walk in, you're like, oh, there's nothing good smelling in this place. And then you walk out and you smell like that place. That's the way negative words are. They just cling to. And it's really hard to get that smell out. It's hard to get the damage that's been done undone. Third, the evil tongue sets on fire the course of nature in James 3:6, if you'll pull that back up. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and literally sets on fire the course of our life. Think about that just for a second. It sets on fire the course of our life. And that's what I was talking about, and how we're known the way we talk. People see who we are by what we say. And oh, you can use all kinds of words, but to say you're not that, but if that's continually how you speak, that's who you are. It's what you are. And our tongue tells on us, and our tongue sets on fire. Listen, you ever hire someone, or I've had employees, I've been self-employed for, oh my goodness, 30 years plus, 35 years, whatever it's been now. And I've hired some people and I've fired some people. And usually if they got fired, it's because really negative attitude and really poor choice of words. And one of the words that my mother hated more than anything, as a matter of fact, my mother would backhand us as kids. She would say something, and I had this, because I knew I could tweak people, and I used to do that before I got saved, or I guess I still do it now, but it was intentionally then. And the one of the words that set my mother ablaze was, she would say something and I'd go, whatever. My mom and that plastic spoon would have heyday. But people that the negative words, the attitude, right? That's how we're known. And I would fire people because of bad attitudes. My kids would get spankings because of bad attitudes. It's like, that's not acceptable. And you're like, really? Yeah. Why wouldn't I? Anyway, negative attitudes, poor choices of words, so destructive and will set a course of your life. Some of you don't, there's nothing good that comes out of your mouth. It's just, and not that you're destroying anyone else. You just destroy yourself. You destroy yourself. I'm like, why would you say that about you? Well, because it's true. Not from where I'm standing, but because someone has beat you down with words, maybe your whole life, and you believe them. You believe the lies. Because they were insecure, because they wanted to dominate, because they were a narcissist, because they were angry at what happened to them. And so they just keep pouring the poison out on everyone they run into. And you believed the bad. You believed the negative. You believed the horrible things, the lies that were said. And so now your life has been set ablaze to live that out. And you've been killing yourself for how many years? And people have come along and said, listen, that's not true. What they said about you is not true. And you can't get past it because their words were so ingrained into your soul and in your brain that you've lived it out. That's the power of words and the negative words. How crazy is it? You can get 1,000 positive remarks. Listen, if I'm not careful, people will come up and they're like, oh, Pastor, it was a great message. Pastor, thank you for that. Pastor, I really appreciated the sermon series. Pastor, you're doing a really good job. And then someone comes up and goes, Pastor, you stink. And then I go home and I'm like, I stink. No, I don't. Yeah, I mean, but how crazy is it? You can get 100 positives, you get one negative, and you allow that one negative to destroy you. That's insane. The power of words is set ablaze, a course of life. There's people that were fantastic, wonderful, and someone come along and told them that they weren't any good, and all of a sudden they believed that one derailed them. That's insane. But the power of words. That's why it's so important to know the Word of God. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. We're made in the image of God. Now, what does that mean, in the image of God? I can assure you, God does not look like us. And we don't look like God. So what's the image of God? Mind, will, and emotion. God gave us the ability to think. God wants us to be like Him. God wants us to be with Him. God says, I'll give you everything. And we see it in the writings of the New Testament and the letters that Peter and Paul has written, where we are encouraged to be like Christ. And when we're like Christ, we are a beautiful person. And then when we believe the lies of the world, we turn and destroy ourselves and say the Bible's not true. It's like this crazy dynamic that we're so easily twisted by someone who doesn't matter and who has a bad attitude and who's negative and who's angry. And so we allow their anger to destroy our life. And it's just insane. It's insane. There have been children they were doing great things, and they were asked, how can you do that? And I can't remember who it was. I wish I would have kept the video, but the child responded, well, a teenager at this time, nobody told me I couldn't. How can you do that? Nobody told me I couldn't do it. The power of words. And so I just want you to know that when he says, if you go to 3:6 again, it sets on fire the course of nature. It sets on fire our life. That's a negative. It destroys, the tongue will destroy our life if we allow it. And so many of us, we allow it. I'm telling you, don't. You need to stop. You need to stop giving people permission to destroy your life because they don't like theirs. And if you're the one doing the destroying, you need to stop. And you need to get right with Jesus. The fourth. And I only said four. Wow, it's 11:22. I'm almost done. Almost. For those of you visiting, today's a gift. If I actually get done. No, I'm kidding. Here we go. The fourth. It says, and this is probably the worst. If you put up six again, there it is. It is set on fire by hell. Now, I don't know about you, but I find, and I found that statement by James intriguing. What does it mean, set on fire by hell? How many want to know what that means? All right, go home, study it out. When you come back, let me know next week. Well, no, I'm kidding. So the word set on fire literally means it indicates a continuing state. It's always being set on fire, if you will. And the hell, the reason James uses the word hell is to get his point across of how devastating it would be, right? Because again, this is a negative. I know the positive can speak, or the tongue can speak positive and it can speak negative. And James' whole focus is on the negative, and that's why I'm talking about it. Not because that's what I want to do, but if we're going to stay in context and the whole idea of the Word of God and what James's point is, listen, this is bad words, bad choice of words is a negative. And so he says, it is set on fire by hell. And if I went and I pulled it up in the Greek, the word hell literally is Gehenna. And I thought, okay, we know what Gehenna is. And the word Gehenna literally means Valley of Hinnom. And so I put this in here. It's a deep gorge southwest of Jerusalem where trash, garbage, and the bodies of dead animals and executed animals were dumped and continually burned. The location had originally been used by the Canaanites and even some Israelite worshipers to sacrifice their children as burnt offerings to the pagan god Molech. That's how bad Gehenna is. And ultimately, to give you an idea, the practice was permanently stopped by King Josiah. And you would find that in 2 Kings 23:10. And the place was considered to be unclean and unfit, completely unfit for any decent usage. And so it became used as a garbage dump where all the filth of the city would be dumped and poured in. And then as I was reading, it says, it is said to be set on fire by hell indicates that the tongue can be Satan's tool fulfilling hell's purposes to pollute, corrupt, and destroy, just like Gehenna. Hence the set on fire by hell. But if you know anything about Gehenna, maybe go home and research Gehenna and you'll find everything that I've talked about. But it was originally used by the Canaanites and some Israelite worshipers to sacrifice their children to Molech. That's how evil Gehenna is and the place of Gehenna. And so when James says set on fire by hell, and you look up in the Greek as Gehenna, it was to get his point across of how destructive, evil, and the damage that it has done and that it does. So James is really trying to get his point across. And guys, I want you to understand that our tongue, it sets the same fires to destroy children. I found that interesting that Gehenna was originally a place to sacrifice children to Molech. Molech is a child sacrificing god. As a matter of fact, some homework for you if you're interested. Look up Washington, D.C. laid out in the symbol of an owl. A-O-W-L, owl, the bird, not owl as in it hurts. And what you'll find is totally laid out in the streets, the buildings, everything is laid out in the shape of an owl. And the owl is the symbol of Molech. And in our own country, Washington, D.C. is the capital of child sacrificing in the world. Look up the numbers. America has 435,000 children missing every year. The next closest country doesn't even hit 50,000. How insane is that? Molech, child sacrificing God. And James puts this in there because parents, if we're not careful, we sacrifice our children with the choice of words that we use. Mom, dad, you sacrifice each other in your marriage with the choice of words you use. Kids, you sacrifice relationships with your parents and with your friends with the choice of words you use. We set our world up by the way we speak, by the things we say. We can change that. It doesn't have to be negative. But in order to do that, we got to change our heart and the way we see God and the way we see things and the way we see people. The tongue is incredibly destructive if we allow it to be. The psalmist says of those who misuse their tongues in Psalm 55:21, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. And we see some people today very good at it, actually, where they draw you in, but their heart is set on evil. And they draw you in and then they destroy you. We see it. The Bible prophesied that in the end times, that would be a massive thing. And it's going on in a big way. Psalm 59:7 says this, indeed, they belch with their mouth. Swords are in their lips, for they say, who hears? Swords are in their lips. Psalm 64:3, who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, bitter words. They sharpen their tongue. That means they think about what they're going to say. They perfect how they're going to manipulate or destroy. And sometimes some of us, we sit back and we think about how we can hurt someone the most by the words we use and the things we say. And then we walk away proud and arrogant like we have conquered our foe when really we destroyed our family or we destroyed our workplace or we destroy our own reputation because people actually heard what we said and the way we said it. And James is just simply warning us, be careful because your tongue can do amazing damage. Be careful because your tongue can take out lives. Be careful because your tongue can set on course the fire to hell, Gehenna. Be careful with the words you choose because someone's life is at stake and it might be yours. Be careful with the words we choose. The tongue has great ability to build or to destroy. And we get to choose. And whatever we choose, our heart, it will expose our heart. It'll expose us. It'll tell on us. And so my question for you is, what are you going to do? Are you going to pay attention to what you say? Are you going to read the scriptures and learn who God is and what God expects from us so you understand how we are to deal with people? Are you going to spend time with Jesus and focus and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you so that our words are words that are going to build up people rather than set fires and destroy? See, our only option is either we follow God and the things of God so that our choices are better and more pure and that are good for people, or we follow man. And I don't know if you noticed the direction of man, but the direction of man is total destruction right now. They're attacking everyone everywhere. You go on the news and it's a full-on attack. People attacking, people killing, people destroying with their words, with lies and deceit. And so are we going to follow man or are we going to follow God? The only way you can follow God is to get into the Word of God, to learn the Word of God, to understand the Word of God, to understand who God is so that we can do the things of God which actually build up people. Save people. Now, we can't save them to get them to heaven. Only God saves, but we can sure enough share the good words, the good news for them to get saved. How shall they hear except for someone preach? And so we have to decide. You have to decide. How are you going to speak to people? For out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And every one of us are going to be held accountable for every idle word, the Bible says, whether good or bad. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for the instruction in righteousness that we can have through your word. Father, I thank you for the sounding of the alarm that James has put out to us of the damage that our words can do, and that we should be ever so careful to choose our words wisely. Father, help us to understand, even in the harsh things that we have to say, Father, help us to say them in ways that are not destructive, but they help us. Father, help us, strengthen us, Father, to walk this walk, and that the Holy Spirit would continually bring to our mind and convict us of good and of good words. And then, Father, that we don't push away your Holy Spirit because we want to exact revenge or we want to hurt someone with our tongue. Father, help us have the ability and the strength to control what we say and to think about what we say before we ever do. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I just want to tell you that without Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's going to be difficult to carry this out. And I know I didn't preach a salvation message today. I know I didn't teach on how to get to heaven, but I'm just going to tell you, the Bible says that Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins. And that if we put our faith in Jesus, if we believe in Jesus with all of our heart, then we would have salvation. We would have heaven as our home. And I just want you to know that God changes the heart of each and every one of us. And so when we believe unto Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we put all of our faith in Him with all of our heart, then He'll convict our heart and change our tongue. And for some of you, that's where you have to start today, is with salvation. The Bible says, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession unto salvation." If you're here today and you want to surrender your life, that means it's going to look different. That means you're going to look different. That means you're going to talk different. That surrender your life to Jesus means everything changes. I'm not going to butter this up and make it like, oh, if you give your life to Jesus, your life is a bowl of cherries. No, that's when the real work begins. And so we're not going to simplify this, and I'm not going to lie to you and tell you if you surrender to Jesus that everything becomes wonderful and you won't speak bad or evil things again. That's not true. It's just now you have a guiding light on how to speak and what to speak. And so if you wish to give your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that means you're going to surrender all of your ways of the world, you surrender and all, then pray this prayer. The prayer isn't magical. The prayer doesn't save you. It's the fact that you decided with all of your heart that you're going to give your life to Jesus Christ, believe unto Him as your Lord and Savior, and put all your faith and trust in Him. The prayer just gives you a time stamp. This day, I made a conscious decision to surrender my life to Jesus. If that's you, pray this prayer quietly and to yourself. Jesus, today I surrender. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. I believe that you are the only way to heaven. I don't understand it all, but I believe it. And with all of my heart, I put my faith in you, my trust in you. I believe in you, Jesus, and you alone for salvation. I ask that you forgive me of all the wrong I've ever done. And today I repent. I'm going to turn from my ways and live unto yours. With every